As most of you know, Mr. Robert Field is ill and unable to be here, and Mr. Timothy Parrish has kindly agreed to preach instead. I will just say I've spoken to Mr. Field. He's a little bit better than he was. Our opening hymn is number 917. 917. May the Lord help us to sing. Cease, O believer, cease to mourn. Return unto thy rest, return. Why should thy sorrow swell? Though deep distress thy steps attend, thy warfare shall in triumph end. With thee it shall go well. Hymn 917.
Tune 731.
Cease, O believer,
cease to mourn. Return unto thy rest, return. Why should thy sorrow swell? Though deep distress thy steps attend, thy warfare shall in triumph end. With thee it shall go
of God. We'll read together the Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1. Paul's Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of truth, the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfil the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labour, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. May God bless that reading from his holy word to us, and may he teach us how to pray. Kind and gracious and most merciful Lord, we gather once more around thy word, and once more the blessing ask. We do pray thy blessing to rest upon the reading of thy word, the preaching of thy word, thy blessing to rest upon the service here this evening. And Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to bless the things that are read and spoken to our souls by the power of thy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that thy word may enter in and do us good. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember us here this evening as we gather ourselves together. Lord, we gather at the end of a week. We come to the weekend. And we do pray, Lord, that thou be with each who have gathered here this evening, and any listening in who would be here if they could. Lord, we pray that thou would help us. There may be those, Lord, who feel the weariness of the week. Lord, we pray that it might be a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, that we may leave thy house this night different to how we came. Lord, that thou wilt send us on our way rejoicing. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt use thy word for the good of never dying souls. There might be that strengthening and that help along the way. Lord, thou knowest every need. We do bring before thee, most gracious God, thy servant, Mr. Field, unable to be here this evening. We pray for him. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt be with him and help him. There might be that measure of strength and recovery granted to him. We thank thee, Lord, for what thou hast done so far. We pray that thou wilt continue and raise him up to preach among the friends at the Dicker and elsewhere. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be with him and comfort his heart. Lord, meet with him, we pray, and bless him in his soul. as he is laid aside at this time. We do ask, Lord, thy blessing upon his dear wife also, and pray, Lord, that thou strengthen them both. May they be encouraged as they see thy gracious healing hand. And Lord, we pray that thou grant thy blessing upon him and his labours in thy name. And may it be when he is restored again, he may go forth weeping, bearing precious seed. And may he doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. O Lord, we pray thy blessing upon each of thy servants. Do remember, Lord, those who are labouring in thy name. Lord, do supply every need. O Lord, we pray that thou remember thy church, thy one church scattered throughout the earth. Lord, we pray that thou satisfy the longing heart of those, Lord, of thy people scattered throughout the earth. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt send forth labourers into the harvest. And, Lord, that thy glorious gospel might be blessed throughout the earth to the saving of many souls. Lord, we pray for this church and congregation. Lord, do remember them. We do pray, Lord, that thou be with them. We think of them unable to meet in chapel at present. Lord, we pray that soon they may be able to gather once more in the chapel. And Lord, there may be that time of rejoicing. The chapel doors opened once more, and Lord, that joy of meeting together in thy house of prayer. Lord, we do thank thee for the help given to those that have undertaken the work at the chapel, and we pray thy blessing upon these things. Lord, we thank thee for all that thou hast done. Lord, we pray for more than just the bricks and mortar. We pray that thou wilt work mightily in the souls that meet here week by week. We pray that thou wilt build up the church in their most holy faith, that thou wilt continue to unite them and bind them together. May they be knit, their hearts knit together in love and in gospel liberty and peace. May thy blessing rest upon the services as they are ministered week by week. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt use thy word mightily among them for the strengthening, for the edifying, for the encouraging of thy people. Do gather in from the congregation into the church, and do glorify thyself in the salvation of souls. May there be many, Lord, exercised to tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found. We think of this time of year, and we particularly think on the coming of the Saviour. And oh, we pray, Lord, that it might be a time where some are exercised concerning that question. Did he come for me? Oh, Lord, we pray for any that have carried that burden through the whole year and come towards the close of another year, and maybe that still is left to be answered. Was it for me? Was it for crimes that I had done? He hung upon the tree. Oh, we do pray, Lord, Jesus, that thou be pleased to reveal thyself. Oh, that as the year draws to a close, oh, there might be those brought out of darkness into the glorious light and liberty of the gospel. That thou shine with thy light into their hearts. And, oh Lord, we pray that we each may be led both to Bethlehem in our meditations at this time of year, but we may trace out the life of our Lord Jesus Christ from Bethlehem to Calvary. We may see that finished work, and may we view an empty tomb, an empty cross, an empty tomb, and an occupied throne in heaven. Lord Jesus, thou art exalted, glorified, and may we prove that thou art in heaven for us as we come before thee with our petitions, as we come with our burdens, as we call upon thy great and holy name. Oh Lord, may we have those times where we can clearly see that thou art our God, our Father, our friend. Oh Lord, do remember us here this evening. Lord, remember any with particular burdens and cares. Lord, thou knowest the exercises of each. Thou knowest, Lord, those that are maybe feeling cast down. Those, Lord, who maybe have carried bodily afflictions through the year and seemingly will carry them into the year to come. We pray, Lord, that they may prove that thy grace is sufficient for them, and that thy strength is made perfect in weakness. And Lord, may there be a looking back over the year that has passed and see thy gracious help, thy sustaining mercy. Oh Lord, may it be a time to gather stones together, the helps along the way. Oh, may there be that acknowledging, a spirit of thanksgiving. Lord, thou hast not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And Lord, if thou hast, Lord, where would we be? Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Oh, we do pray then that thou would humble us under thy mighty hand. Oh Lord, that thou would exalt us in due time. Do enable us each to cast all our care upon thee. Prove that thou dost care for us. Lord, do remember us in all our need. We are poor. We are weak. We are sinners, Lord. We stand in need of thy mercy. Lord, we confess that our best is stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. Oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt accept us in thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we would be found in him. Oh, we would know him. We would be followers of him. Lord, we need thy divine aid. Lord, we need thy almighty outstretched arm. We need thy drawing power. We need the power of God to be made known. We need thy Spirit, Lord, to be poured out upon us. Oh, we need thee to reveal thy Son in us. Oh, do, Lord, deliver us from all the unbelief. Lord, do help us in the hour of temptation. Lord, how the enemy would question everything that thou hast said, everything thou hast done, bring in doubt anything, Lord, that we think we have received of thee. Lord, thou art able to appear mighty on our behalf. Thou art able to deliver us from his sore temptations. Lord, thou art mighty. And we do pray that thou would arise for our help, that thou would speak the word only, that thou would command the blessing, even life forevermore. Deliver us from the power of indwelling sin. Deliver us from the power and dominion of sin. May thy Spirit, Lord, rule and reign within our hearts. Do, Lord, cast out our sin and enter in and be born in us this day, that we may be born again of the Spirit of the Lord, quickened into everlasting life. Remember, Lord, any who may feel out of the way, out of the secret, passed by, forgotten, overlooked, Lord, thou knowest. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt draw near in a particular way. Oh, Lord, those that maybe feel that no one else knows, tempted that no one else cares. Oh, but may they know they have a friend in Jesus. That one that sticketh closer than a brother. That one that loveth at all times. Oh, do, Lord, then draw near and comfort each heart. Be with any with burdens, with cares that feel like mountains. Any who shrink from the pathway before them. Any who feel the way is too hard, feel that they cannot go on. Maybe there's one like Elijah here, under the juniper tree, at the end of everything, natural strength, all gone. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou art draw near, that thou reach out thy gracious hand, that thou touch the mountains, Lord, that make them to flow down. Oh, do put strength in those that are weak. Lord, we pray that faith, God-given faith, that precious gift that we each receive and know thy precious working of it within our soul. Oh, do, Lord, increase our faith. Do forgive us all our sin, that unbelief which dishonours thy great and holy name. We confess it, Lord. How weak at times our faith seems to be. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou would increase it and grant that thy word may be made precious, that the dear Lord Jesus Christ may be made our all and in all, that he may have the preeminence in all things. So help us, Lord, remember the children, the young people, those who are battling with particular issues or concerns. We think of the children and the things that they face, Lord, at school, and those in the workplace, Lord, with the temptations, There are many things, that, particularly at this time of year. Lord, we pray that thou wilt make that way of escape for them. That thou wilt, Lord, put thy gracious arms of love and mercy around them. Be the wall of fire round about. Be the glory in the midst. And deliver them from any persecutions that may arise in the workplace or at school or college. So, Lord, do help us each. Thou knowest, Lord, the difficulty of the day we live in. Oh, Lord, thou knowest the concerns and the cares. Parents with their children, friends with the burden of our older relatives, or the infirm. Lord, those older friends who feel to be coming toward the evening time of life, who know there can only be a few more Christmases before they are called from time to eternity. Oh Lord, we pray that at the evening time it may be light for them, that thou lift up the light of thy countenance, that thou, Lord, reveal thy love in their heart. So help us, Lord, we pray. Bless thy word to us now and open up our understanding of it. Prepare our hearts to receive it. And Lord, may it be found in our hearts. May it find an abiding place. Maybe there be those things that we take home, those things that are brought back to our remembrance. Do use thy word, we humbly pray, and prepare us for thy worship this Lord's Day. We ask these things, we seek the forgiveness of every sin, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 908. 908. Saved is the sinner that believes, the sacred gospel annals show. To him repentance Jesus gives, and sins complete remission too. Hymn number 908.
Tune number 412.
Saved is the sinner.
Thank you.
turn with me to the chapter we read, Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1. With the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from verse 27. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. From verse 21 down to the end, you'll find there's no full stop. It seems to flow, and it begins, verse 21, and you. And you. And I wonder, this evening, does it begin with you? And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. You. Are you among those? Am I among them? Those that are reconciled. We think of this time of year and we sing, don't we? That well-known Christmas hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. One of my favourite Christmas hymns. It's such a beautiful subject, isn't it? God and sinners reconciled. Well, that is a deep mystery. You know, the verse we have this evening, it mentions this mystery. We have in the previous verse even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. What is this mystery? Well, great is the mystery of godliness. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 3, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. 1 Timothy 3, chapter verse 16. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God manifest in the flesh. It's a precious thing, isn't it? That sinners should be reconciled to God through the person and work of Jesus Christ. God manifest in the flesh. He didn't take possession of a person. He took into union with his own divine nature, a holy human body and soul, and became a real man. Wondrous thing. None like him. None like him. God and man in one. What a precious thing. What a mystery. Very God, very man, Son of God, Son of Man, our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom God would make known. Oh, is that mystery? Is it being made known to you? Oh, is it being revealed to you? Well, more than just in the intellectual understanding of it. Is there an entering into your soul? Something of this mystery. And what is the mystery? It's the gospel of the grace of God. It's the gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. It was that which was spoken of. You go right back to the Garden of Eden. You go right back to Adam and Eve and that fall into sin. God himself, what does he say to Satan? We read of this, don't we? In Genesis 3, verse 15, "And I will put enmity between thee," that is Satan, "and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Oh, what a precious thing. But you see, it would seem like a mystery. What does all this mean? It is the making known of the gospel. This is the gospel in the Garden of Eden. The enmity between thee and the woman. The one who had fallen into sin now should be at enmity with Satan. How? How will there ever be enmity between you and the one who has had the mastery of your life? You and I, we're dead in trespasses and in sins, and while we're in that fallen state and condition, in our unregeneracy, we have one master. There's no enmity there. Yes, there's no love. Satan's never done anything in love. His followers don't love him, and he doesn't love them. There is no love. None at all. But, you know, friends, they follow. The world is following. You and I. You know, can some of us say, and such were some of us? Is there now that enmity between you and the devil? I wonder. I will put enmity. There will be, if what is spoken of in our text this evening is done for you, Christ in you. You want to know a clear mark of whether you have in your soul Christ in you? It'll be in this. This will be one sign. There will be enmity between you and Satan. There will. Now, some of you may say, I wish there was more. I wish I didn't seem to be at times so easily led by him, so easily influenced by him. But, friends, praise the Lord. If there's ever been rising up in your heart a hatred toward the devil, you hate his devices, you hate his power, you hate the dominion that he seems to have at times over you, you hate the way he seems to have a hold and an influence over you. If you have that, praise the Lord and pray on that the Lord will arise for your help, that he will pour in his spirit, that he will make bare his holy arm and deliver you from that power and dominion of Satan. But this is the mystery. Enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head. and thou shalt bruise his heel. And you think, naturally speaking, how a natural man can soon bruise the head of a snake, of a serpent. And how that snake or that serpent might so easily attack the heel, go for the weaker part, the easily reached. How much more do we see it in our Lord Jesus Christ? In the fullness of this verse, it shall bruise thy head, that holy thing made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Oh, how he bruised the head of Satan. How he destroyed the work of Satan. How he broke the power and dominion. Oh, and how we read here, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And, you know, the blessing of the glorious God-man is this, isn't it? That he took on him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Oh, there was a human nature taken into union with his divine nature. Why? Oh, that there might be this fulfilling of this word, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And the permissive will of God, that the Son of God, in the person of Jesus Christ, should be tempted by Satan. And you read of it as he was baptized of John. And we find him tempted in the wilderness, following his baptism. Oh, that, friends, the mysterious. These things are mysterious, aren't they? We can't truly understand. When something isn't truly understood, it is a mystery. There's so many things. Until they're revealed, until they're truly made known, many things are still a mystery for us, aren't they? There's so many mysteries for us surrounding the day of our death and the passage of death. And what will be when time is no more? So many things that are still yet to be revealed. But here we have even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Oh, the understanding. You know, if you look at the life of our Lord Jesus Christ and his dealings with his disciples, and how he taught them and how he instructed them in the way. But even then, it wasn't until afterward that things were truly understood. I'm thinking of things like when he spoke of his sufferings and death, and yet it seemed to them that there wasn't any real, true understanding of it until those things were done, until those things took place. But the Lord spoke of them. And these things were prophesied. We think of another one, particularly at this time of year, another prophecy here in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. Mystery. It was spoken of in prophecy by Isaiah. But, oh, until the fullness of the time came. Oh, how was it understood? In a shadowy way? By faith. Looking for, hoping in, trusting in the Messiah who had not yet come, not yet been revealed, not yet made manifest. God not manifest in the flesh, but the hope of it. He shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive. How can that be? That the mystery of the incarnation of the Son of God, how can these things be? Mary said, how can it be? How can this thing be? A mystery? A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Friends, we live in a gospel day. Oh, have you ever been thankful for that? Oh, there is that light of knowledge and understanding in the pages of the Holy Word of God. We have the full and complete Word of God. Are you thankful for it? Oh, we have this given, now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. What is this then? The riches of the glory of this mystery. Well, it is the person and work of Jesus Christ. He is the glory of the mystery, isn't he? He is the foundation of the gospel. Oh, this is one reason why we think upon his birth, his coming. Because without his coming, well, there can be no gospel. He must come. And so it is a time of rejoicing and giving thanks. You think of what the thanksgiving and rejoicing and the praising of God, the heavenly host praising God, glory to God on the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all men. That glorious hallelujah, praising of God at the coming of the Saviour into the world. Jesus, the gift of gifts, appears to show that God is love. To show the love that is in the gospel of the grace of God, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. And there's abundant riches, isn't there, in the glory, in the glorious gospel. And think of all of the fullness of the Godhead dwelling bodily in the person of Jesus Christ. And all of the glorious things that he did. His glorious life. How he glorified God. How he humbled himself. Made himself obedient to the law. To his parents as a child. To the law of Moses, and then right through, obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. Oh, this is the riches of the glory that he this gospel speaks of the love of God towards sinners. his poor, unworthy, sinful people. And his love is so, so wonderfully displayed in the Saviour's coming. The to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, I said it began. Think, go back to verse 21, and you that were alienated and were enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath God, he is now reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. This is the intention. This is the designed end of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the result, the conclusion of that finished work in Christ Jesus. That every single soul that is bound up in the covenant of grace, that every single one of them, however vile and sinful they have been, should be presented holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in the sight of God. I can't. I mean, isn't that a mystery? How can this be? How can such fallen, hell-deserving sinners ever be brought into a state and a condition where they are beyond reproach, where they are elevated to such a position where they're unreprovable by, in the sight of an all-seeing, heart-searching God? How can this be? How can they be unblameable? When everything that they've done in their lives, they're accountable for. And how can it be that they're holy? When in them, by nature, dwells no good thing. When the whole of their life, from beginning to end, has sin mixed with it all. Well, this is the glorious. These are the riches of the glory of this mystery, isn't it? What a richness this is. What a fullness there is in the pardon. That precious blood of Jesus that he shed at Calvary should wash a soul as clean as this. Should take away every single sin without exception. It is a mystery. What can cleanse? Well, it can only be the precious blood of Christ. Oh, what can renew? What can restore? What can reconcile? Offenders to an offended God. How can the offender ever come near the offended God? Well, it can only be in Jesus Christ and in him crucified. That the blessings of this. Well, and you. Has this glorious gospel ever entered into your heart? Has there ever been a little going out after it? We read, don't we, in Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Oh, the glorious, precious word of the gospel, has it ever entered into your soul? Has there ever been a little light that shone into the darkness of all the sin in your life? Has there ever been a little glimmer, a little glimmer of hope? We sang, didn't we? Our opening hymn came, well, the title over it was Hoping in God. Hoping in God. We have in that third verse, though trouble now thy heart appalls, and deep to deep incessant calls, no storm shall injure thee. Thy anchor, once in Jesus cast, shall hold thy soul till thou at last him face to face shall see. Oh, has that word hope ever gone into your soul, entered in, and been accompanied with some divine light? Hope. That's the word you could write over the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hope. You know, without the gospel, no hope. Without the dear baby in the manger at Bethlehem, no hope for you and me. None at all. We've got no hope. Out of Christ Jesus, no hope. None. None whatsoever. But the wonder of it, that there is hope, and that hope is to be found in Christ Jesus, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. As I say, has there been any hope that's ever sprung up a little in your heart? The hope when you've read the account of one of the sinners that have been brought out of darkness into the marvellous light and liberty of the gospel. The Lord's dealings with those in his earthly ministry as he touched them in body and in soul. As he received sinners, does that give you a little hope? When they cast it in his teeth, this man receiveth sinners. Did a light go on, ping, in your heart? This man receiveth sinners. It did once for me. Oh, what a light went on. Not many will receive. Oh, but this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. No, he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Oh, is that the little hope that springs up in your soul? Can't you come in there this evening? Oh, a sinner. Not without hope. Not without hope. You can't go out of this place this evening without hope, can you? You may not have the visit of the dear Redeemer in your soul as you leave this evening, but surely when you're on praying ground, well, time is lengthened out for you. Surely, isn't there a little hope? Isn't there? You know, we read of hope, don't we? In Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. You need some consolation this evening. Oh, there's the immutability of his counsel. And there's the the preciousness of his oath. Two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. His counsel and his oath. Oh, what he's determined, what he said he will do, he will do. And that is a foundation. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge as sinners. We fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. That's what's held forth in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hope for sinners. Are you seeking to lay hold of it? To lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. You know, we sang of it, didn't we? That anchor. It's a hope. Hope is that anchor. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. Oh, that anchor that's cast. Have you cast that anchor in? It cannot fail. It cannot fail. Everyone that's cast anchor in Jesus Christ, friends, you've anchored onto solid ground. It cannot give way. It cannot fail. The word that he's spoken, has that taken hold of you? Is your faith laid hold of it? Have you cast anchor into his word? Friends, it cannot give way. It cannot. You might be buffeted around. Your little ship might be tossed about, but the anchor will hold. You've anchored in to one. Jesus Christ, our forerunner, who Paul says has for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. Oh, you were in time past. Taken up with sinful things. You were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Oh, you laying hold, casting your anchor, putting your trust in the Lord Jesus, coming to him as a sinner, with all of your sin, all of your guilt, all of your shame, feeling undone, feeling the weight of it, but then coming to this point, to cast it all on him. Oh, you had to give it to him. You've had to cast it on him. To Christ for help I fly. The friend of sinners lost. To Christ for help I fly. The friend of sinners lost. A refuge sweet and sure and nigh. And there is all my trust. There is all my trust. Lord, grant me free access unto thy pierced side, for there I seek my dwelling place, and there my guilt would hide. Oh, to cast yourself on the Saviour of sinners, to give him all of your poor, unworthy, sinful, weak, and ruined soul. Oh, with that prayer, Lord, undertake for me, do all. Be all that I need. Do all that I need. Be in me and for me
everything that I stand in need of. Oh, be the one to deliver me from sin. Be the one to help me in the temptations, in the weakness that I feel, in my weariness, in the conflict. You want a mark? Do you want a mark this evening? Another one? Another evidence that you have Christ in you, the hope of glory? It's this. It's the conflict. It's the temptations. It's the striving against sin. It's that conflict that you have. Friends, do you have it? Do you know it? You know, you can look back to a time in your life and you didn't have it. There wasn't that company of two armies, one warring with the other. There was only one. Do you have it now? Do you find a little going out in your heart toward the Lord Jesus? And what do you find? Almost immediately, if not at the moment it happens, Satan's trying to squash it, trying to quieten, trying to pour cold water on it. You go out of the house of God and you feel a little, the Lord's done something, and then, it seems like everything's yanked away from you, snatched away. Satan's on you, trying to question, put doubt in your heart, call into question all that you feel that you've heard, all that you've read, all you feel the Lord might have done. He seems to tell you it's not true. Friends, this is the warfare. Christ in you. Christ in you. The old nature. Read Romans 7 as Paul comes to the conclusion. He tells us of his striving, his wrestling, the tussle, the warfare that was going on within his soul. Do you have it? You will. If Christ is in you, if there's been an entering in of the Spirit of the Lord, and it is the Spirit of the Lord. You know, we sing it, don't we? Cast out our sin and enter in. The gospel enters in. The word of his grace enters in. But it's accompanied with the divine power of God. And it is the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Comforter. And that Spirit of the Lord dwells within the soul of every child of God. Oh, and that new birth, the Spirit of the Lord enters in and does not depart. Does not depart. Oh, and friends, that is the foundation of a sinner's hope who's struggling and battling with the temptations and the burdens and wrestling with the powers of darkness. That is the foundation. Oh, and that Spirit of the Lord, he doesn't speak of himself. But who does he speak of then? He reveals the Son of God in the soul of his people. Christ in you. And he gives that grace. He supplies that grace. And he gives that faith. And he exercises that faith. And he gives love. And he exercises that love. And he moves the soul. And he draws the soul. And the power is the power of God. Christ in you. And what a hope it brings that the Lord would be working in the heart of a sinner. It must have glory at the end. It cannot end in disappointment. It cannot end in defeat. It must end in glory. the Lord doesn't enter in, sending forth his Spirit to then give up. Friends, it does not happen. Oh, it does not happen. The Lord finishes that which he has begun. And he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That second coming, glorious appearing, on that wonderful day when the saints of God are rejoicing forever and ever, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, may it be so for each one of us. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a reading service next Lord's Day in the morning, and Mr. Graham Hadley will preach in the evening, and those services will be at the school. Mr. Adrian Pickett is expected to preach on Tuesday evening here in the vestry. And those interested in the move back into the chapel, if you would like to stay behind after the service, then we can just talk about what we may be able to do. Our closing hymn is 143. 143. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure, cleanse me from its guilt and power. Hymn 143.
Tune 505.
Rock of ages, cleft for me.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.